Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Stephen Lee, and I'll be your pastor for the next hour or so, radio talk pastor. And if you would, go ahead and get a pencil and piece of paper so you can take notes. And if you have any questions at the end of the ministry, feel free to voice those so that we can all share and grow thereby. So if you would, just join your heart with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. That healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you show us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, today we want to try to get back to the topic of living your greater life in God. You know, we were designed to live by the creative power of the inspired image of God. And his plan has always been for us to live by his spirit, by his word, and by his love. And these three, in 1 John it says, these three agree as one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. They agree as one. So then if we want our life to function, then it would probably be wise for us to align ourselves with the three that already agree. You know, I've seen people try to live by just saying what the Word says, but not connecting to the Spirit that the Word brings. All right? The Word ushers us into the presence of the Father. And the Spirit strengthens us so that we'll be able to stand in the presence of the Father. Without the three in agreement, we couldn't make it. We wouldn't be able to stand the glory that we will be in the presence of. That's why God had to come inside us so that he would be able to then connect with the him that's on the inside of us. Because if we went in our own flesh, in our own strength, then he would have to resist us. The Bible says he resists the proud. See? So then if I enter in any other way but by the door, but by the word, okay, and again, the word is going to usher us into the presence, give us access to the Father, and the Spirit, okay, let's do it this way then. The Spirit gives us the language to talk to the Father. Wow. I hadn't even looked at that. The word would be the breath of God, but the Spirit would be the language of God. Because when the Spirit came into them, in Acts chapter 2, it says that the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing wind, the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and sat upon each of them. And then they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So if that's the way the church started, let's just go on and see this. If that's the way the church started, by the Spirit giving us utterance, then it's going to be the same way today, isn't it? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then the door, Jesus, the Word, takes us into the presence of God where there is fullness of joy, and the Spirit of God then gives us the unction to speak, the words, the voice. See, so without all three, you can't function. And so people have tried to live life without the Spirit. They don't say that. They say it's not necessary. Those things have passed away. Tongues have ceased, okay? See, but you can't get, because these three, according to 1 John 5:7, there's three that agree in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So that without the three, I don't have a chance. I don't have the ability to stand and gather what God is saying to me, what God wants me to do. The Spirit also gives you the power to execute. Okay? Because Jesus said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to do the things, bring things to your remembrance, teach you all things, lead you into the truth, show you things to come, and give you power. See, so then without the power, there's nothing you can do to get it done. See, so a lot of times people take away what is simply in writing in the Bible. It's just in black and white and red and white. And we don't have to be super smart. All we have to do is be available, and he'll teach us. He'll come in. That's what he said he would do. He said if you open the door of your heart, that he would come in, and he and the Father will sit down and sup with you. When someone comes to your place to eat and sit down, that has the understanding that they plan to be there a while. They plan to be there to exchange all of the pleasantries that are necessary for growth. Eating, conversation, fellowship. They are necessary for growth. And so he said, I'm going to sit out and eat with you until you grow. How much love is that? So he said, but I've got to get you to participate according to the will or the way that I set it up. You want to come to the Father, you can't get to the Father except by the Word. No man can get to the Father except by me. and he is the word. So he's expecting us, requiring us to have the word as the thing that ushers us into the presence of God. And then when you're in the presence of God, you should speak by the Spirit. He doesn't want you to speak by the flesh, out of the flesh, because of the flesh. You know, I'm coming to understand that wisdom would tell me that when I go into the intimate place with God, that I should operate as it is an intimate place and not a place of accusation. Telling God how everybody is mistreating me. He saw it. And he gave you the Spirit of God to be led into the truth of how to deal with people that are mistreating you. He will remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. He says, when you're persecuted, these are the things you should do. You should, first of all, the Bible tells us in James to count it all joy. All right. If we count it all joy, a question would be in my heart, why would I go to God complaining if I counted it as joy? You know, just some things that we should think about. See how we violate Scripture and think that it's going to work for our good. If you do Bible things, you get Bible results. I mean, this is the roadmap that he gave us, his word. This is my son, hear ye him. That was the voice that came from heaven. Walk like he tells you to walk. In other words, he's going to give you direction. He's going to give you instructions. Follow those steps. Walk those steps out. So when you enter into diverse temptations, tests, and trials, you must first count it all joy. I don't know. I'm just, as you look at a child, because we are the children of God, and he wants us to participate in life by what we see from a child of innocency. He didn't ask us to look at a child of rebellion. Amen. He wants us to be as a little child. And as a little child would be a child of innocency. Because that's what Adam was created in. He was created in innocency. He had no sin. There was nothing in him that it was not, God said it was all very good. Okay, it wasn't just good, it was very good. See, and so he wants us to approach him from that position. So then as a child, if you see a child coming into you, and the child is happy and excited, there is something that happens to your heart. We can almost say your heart begins to melt because you just want to see that smile perpetually on that child's face. I didn't say God is not touched with the feelings of your infirmities, because he is. But he expects you to resolve those issues and come into his presence and then enjoy fullness of his presence. How could you come into his presence where there is fullness of joy and be complaining? You didn't understand why you were there. What was supposed to happen when you got there? See, we're supposed to live by his Spirit, by his word. These three agree as one. I'm giving you some hints, if you would, on how to adjust your conversation so that you can get the results from your conversation. Your conversations, they contain the seeds of your future. Amen. Your conversation contains the seeds of your future. And your thoughts are what corral your conversation. That's why he tells us to have this mind renewed. To think on the things that are pure, just, if there be any praise, any virtue. Why? Because that's going to shape your conversation. And the more you do that or don't do that, the more you're going to either function in or be outside of the will of God. See? He wants us to have a malleable heart before him. If I'm mad and frustrated, busted and disgusted and can't be trusted, then the conversations that I have with the Father are not going to be the ones that will cause motion by the Father. He's not moved by tears. He's moved by faith. Amen. I mean, I guess what we were trying to do as a child, I remember these things. I would try to have the long face and a bunch of tears so that I could manipulate my parents and get them to think from a different perspective. See, but God started in truth, and he wants us to function in truth. He started because of his word, and he wants us to function because of his word. If I don't understand, he said, if you lack wisdom, ask him. See? He doesn't want us to function in a relationship where we're trying to trick God because, A, we can't. But because our heart is wicked, then what is he going to do? He can't. It's evident that he's not interested in dealing with us in a sinful state to allow us to stay in the state. That's why when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, I got to protect the tree of life, because if he eats from that with this bad knowledge, he's going to live out of that bad knowledge forever. That's why he protected the tree, because he was protecting us. He was not protecting the tree to keep us out. As a question in your mind, if he was protecting the tree to keep us out, why would he put us in? He's not double-minded. See? He wanted us to enjoy. The Bible says he's given us all things richly to enjoy. That it's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. He will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. So every scripture I just quoted told us that he wants us to come in and enjoy everything. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that by these precious promises, come on, y'all, we will be partakers of the divine nature. If he didn't want you in, why would he make provisions for you to get in, make invitations for you to come in? See, he wants you there. He just wants you to begin to understand that your ability to stay there, you don't have that within you. It has to come to you, upon you. Because the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Because of the training that the devil has been, he's been doing his job. Oh, please know, the devil has been deviling from Jump Street. And he does it through, I was asking a question the other day, and I'll ask you, what was the first sin of man? And a lot of people would say treason. That's possible. But the first sin was doubt. Very first one. Hath God said? Because the doubt was there, bad conversation took place. Eve said, God said we're not supposed to touch it. Bad information. And the devil said, oh, good. Now I can get them to go past the boundaries that were set to bless them. Boundaries are not there to keep us out of the good. I mean, come on, y'all. We were slap dab in the middle of good. In fact, everything that was made for the man. Everything that was made for the man. God put man in a finished work. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He put man in a finished work. And gave him the ability to cause it to work the same way he put it there, by verbal command. God said, let there be, and there was. And then he gave man verbal command, let them have dominion. How? By what they say. See? So this is what was set up for us from the beginning. We were designed to live in the creative power of the inspired image of God. living in this inspired image requires that we look unto him. He is the source. As we participate in life, we should get what we need from the source. Your house has electricity in it. The light bulb is not the source of your light. The electricity is the source. The light bulb is the instrument that causes the conformity for the force so that it adapts to whatever we need. Come on now, come on, come on. See, the force being the electricity will adapt to whatever we need, because when we put a light bulb in, the source of the source or force of our life is it's the electricity causes the light bulb to come on. But that same source will cause the television to come on. That same source will cause an electric stove to come on. The stove is not the source. The stove is simply the end use of the thing. So then, God being my supply, then my car is not my source for transportation. My God is. See? Because if I just have a car, let's go on, let's keep on. God is the one that has the source of everything. So if I just got a car but I have no gas, then I'm going to have to go back to something else because it doesn't work without a source. So God created, allowed Vanta to be able to tap into what would cause gas to be collected, tap into what would cause electricity to be collected. See, God is the source. And as long as man was connected to the source, man had it made. He had it made so much so that he didn't even understand sweat. He was living a sweatless existence until after sin. Then God said, now you will live by the sweat of your brow. So before the sin, he was not living by the sweat of his brow, but he was living. So what I'm trying to do is to give you some information to make you go back to, okay, wait a minute, I need to get some of these things that I've been doing out of my thought process so that I can go and allow him to be God in my life. If he said he will not withhold any good thing, then I've got to know he's not trying to withhold. He's trying to get it to me. He's going to sit down and talk to me. The way the Hebrew people learned in life is they sat down at the dinner table and had conversation. You know, I know we in our microwave society, and we don't do that. But God wants to do that. Remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he wants to sit down and talk with you. And he wants to talk, well, we'll do that. He wants to talk with you in the cool of the evening. Not because of frustrations, anxieties, and fears. The law of first mention tells us that God did not want to talk to us in the midst of frustrations, anxieties, and fears. His conversations happened with his man in the cool of the day. Amen. I mean, I'm trying to paint a picture so that we can see that as we walk with God, as we walk in victory, we should be able to enjoy the walk and enjoy the time of fellowship. It should not be a complaining session. See? When we function in a complaining session, we haven't understood what God has provided already. The word pro means to do in advance. So that God has already given what you need, placed it in your reach. But because we haven't spent time talking to him in the right manner, we'll go to God with trouble. The disciples woke Jesus up and say, Master, do you not care that we perish? And Jesus woke up, and the first thing that he did is he established what should be there. He said, peace, be still. spoke to the wind, spoke to the waves, and said, peace, be still. I don't need to talk to my disciples while turmoil is going on. Peace, be still. Again, an indication that he wants to teach and give communication to us in the place where a soft, quiet, still voice is going to be heard. Come on, y'all. Isn't that how he speaks to us? He speaks to us in a still, quiet voice. Well, then, with that being the premise, we should allow things to get settled so we can hear. I mean, that just would, to me, that would just kind of make sense, wouldn't it? That I'm trying to, even when you, come on, y'all do these things. When you're trying to concentrate and your children are making demands, what do you tell your children to do? Hush. Be quiet, be still, so I can think. Well, your Father is the same way. He wants you to come to him in a still, with a still heart, with a settled spirit. My pastor says it this way, God speaks from a position of confidence. Faith is confidence. It's the trust and the pistis of what we hope for. So he speaks from confidence into confidence. Because if you are troubled about many things, then you won't hear the answers. Martha was busy. She asked Jesus to come to the house. And then when he came, she didn't want to hear what he said. She was busy. And Jesus told Martha, you're troubled about a great many things. But Mary has chosen the one thing that is needful. She sat at the feet of Jesus. She was not scurrying at the feet of Jesus. She sat there. So, I mean, let's gain clues from those type things. Jesus was telling us through this example, because all the scripture is for our edification, it's for our admonishment, it's for us to grow thereby. So what did you glean from that? That the best speaking, Jesus said, come unto me and you will find rest for your soul. So that tells me, after I take his yoke and learn, I might get to that scripture, it was one of the ones I was going to reference tonight, but you learn best at rest. You learn less through stress. You might want to write that down. That's a good one. We learn best at rest. We learn less through stress. And if your life is go get them, go get them, go get them, you're not doing the learning that he told you to do. He said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Okay? So we learn best at rest. But that's why God would speak to his man in the cool of the day. We learn best at rest. We learn less through stress. We might miss all of the details, and the details are the thing that holds it together, wouldn't you say? Because if I have little foxes, Jesus told us the little foxes will spoil the vine. Amen. Amen. So the details are the things that's important. But when you are not at rest, you don't hear the details. See? So we were created to function from this place with the inspired image of God. And that requires that we look unto him. Keep our eyes on him. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Did it not say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father? We're going to read this scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. See? What that is telling us is not just that he is ruler from that position. He is. But it's also telling us that he will be there. He's seated. Did you get that? See, he's not troubled trying to move to go fix stuff. He's already started the rest for us and is inviting us into the rest because he is seated. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and following. Seeing, therefore, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted against blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every one son he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh that corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, they chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He did not say here that the chastisement was because we were wrong. He said the chastisement was so that we can be partakers of his holiness. He's not asking us to get healed so we can be holy. He's asking us to understand why we functioned and had to get chastised. Why we functioned in error and had to get chastised. The whooping was not because God was trying to say, I'm lording over you with the iron fist. No. He did it so that you can partake of. Did you read what I read? Okay, just so that you can see. Verse 10, it says, for verily, for a few days, they chastened us after their own pleasure. But he did it for our profit. What was the profit? That you would be mad and hurt and disgusted. No, the profit was so that you can be a partaker of his holiness. Let's stop thinking punitive here. He was inviting you into holiness. I mean, do you see it from a different perspective? I know you've been taught it the other way, and I'm not saying it was wrong. They understood what they understood. Amen. Don't get it confused. Spare the rod, spoil the child was very well known by me. Got that. But I didn't understand the why of it. I knew the meaning of it, if you would, that I'm going to get a whoop because I did wrong. But it was not so that I could be corrected by wrong. It was so that I would understand there's a better way. Holiness is a better way. I'm just telling you how I was. I wasn't thinking about holiness when I was getting the whooping. I was thinking about the whooping being over. But he didn't chasten us because we needed a whooping. He chastened us so that we could be partakers of his holiness. That puts a different pen in it for me. See? That makes me have expectation, because that's what the whole thing was. It's five things that we might be able to talk about, and I'll try to get to. But the five things are, we need to look unto him. That's our expectation. We need to listen to him. That's our clarification. We need to learn from him. That's our reformation. We need to lean on him. That's our inclination. We need to live in him. That's our affirmation. So these are five things that we're going to have to begin to function with. Expectation, clarification, reformation, inclination, and affirmation. If we don't get that, understand that, desire that, then we missed why the whole thing was there. See, he did not say that he did that so that we would be corrected and know that we was wrong. He said the reason that he did this, but he for our ability to part. For first of all, he did it for our profit. Oh man, come on, y'all, come on. He did it for our profit. Okay, it did not say there. He did it for our punishment. How do we read that in there? He did it for our profit. Okay. When you sit down at the table and you eat the food, you ate the food for your profit. You didn't eat the food. Wow. You didn't just eat the food because you liked it. You ate the food because it was nourishment. It was for your profit, not for your, come on, y'all. It was not for your pleasure. It was for your profit. It was not for your punishment. It was for your profit. See, I would believe that we kind of like thought this is what it was, and we grew up that way. You know the story of the elephant that was trained by being attached to a small branch and a rope. And when he was a young elephant, that rope would keep him from moving where he wanted to go. And when the elephant grows up, he's still going to take that thought with him that this rope keeps me in place. Even though he can pick up the tree and half of the room around him and go where he wants to go, the training keeps him where he is. So the same thing happens with us. The training keeps us where we are. As a man thinks in his heart, that's where you find the man. So is he. So that's why God asks us to get our mind renewed. Take the limits off. Glory to God. Because he corrected us, he chastised us so that we can enjoy profit, increase. That would be profit, wouldn't it? He didn't even say, okay, come on, I'm just reading and trying to get into this. He didn't say it was so that we could stay in the same place. When you profit, you are not in the same place, are you? Profit connotates growth, new strength and ability. Things that you used to couldn't do, you can now do. And the whole reason that God chastened us is so that we would have, according to what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, he did it for our profit. And the end of that profit was that we would be partakers of his holiness. I didn't put that in your Bible. That was there so that you can read it, so that you can glean from it, so that you can grow thereby. See, God is not trying to stop us. He's trying to release us. Okay, come on. These were his last words. Go ye. Why would he then try to stop us? Amen. He gave us a command to go ye into all. And then you think because he said go ye into all, he's going to now say stay where you are? Come on, how do we think like that? How do we turn this thing around? See, so if we're going to live our greater life, then we're going to have expectation. See, we get our information, where we get our information from, here it is, where we get our information from determines our destiny. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that when you don't hear the wisdom of God in the conversation, it said you should get up and leave. When you don't find the wisdom of God in the conversation, let the conversation be behind you. Get up and go. Well, I know that's not what we do. We want to hear those juicy tidbits about this one and that one. We want to be able to say, yeah, I thought that was the truth. He said, if you do not hear the wisdom of God, depart. I mean, you know, really, y'all, really, if we would do that, you can shut down Hollywood in the morning. Because they only do, the reason they do what they do is the love of money, and that is the root of the evil. So that if we stop listening and they love money, they will stop that and produce something else. But we love to hear. We love darkness. Jesus said, that's not just in the Bible, that's in red. Jesus said, men love darkness. Didn't say we gravitate toward it. It said we love it rather than light. See? So then if we would do what he says, then we can stop this thing, turn this thing around. We talk about people and then participate. Oh, that's what it says in Romans chapter 2. We judge people and do the same things we judge them for doing. See? Oh, these people are just sinners, and then we're going to look at the sinners. Well, come on now. Same, we say they were in Romans chapter 1. It says, not only do the things, but they have pleasure in them that do it. That's before he says, who are you, old man, that judges another that do the same thing? I mean, we're going to have to make a line that we are not willing to cross, because we're supposed to get our information by the Spirit of God. Remember, you were designed to live by the creative power of the inspired image of God. See? But if you get your information from another place, because where you get your information determines your destiny, the spirit of truth, or the spirit of error. Even a lying spirit that speaks to your flesh. If you get your information from there, please know that your flesh is weak and it cannot sustain or support a holy lifestyle. I said your flesh is weak and it cannot sustain or support a holy lifestyle. I didn't say you wouldn't visit holiness, that you wouldn't talk about holiness, but your flesh cannot sustain a holy lifestyle. Amen. It takes surrender in order for the strength that's necessary to be given to you. See, the strength to sustain a holy lifestyle is not earned by you, worked out by you. It has to be received by you and then walked out because you received the strength. See? It's always a time of surrender. That's what God's looking for. Always. Because he says it, okay, see, I've got these scriptures out there and I've kind of studied them, but it says in Proverbs chapter 3, it says to trust in the Lord, you know it, with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because then he can direct your path. So when you're not trusting the Lord with all your heart, someone else is going to try to direct your path. You, the devil, society. Because you'll be busy doing what we did in the flesh, keeping up with the Joneses. Well, let me just help you. When you keep up with the Joneses, you stop following Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want to keep up with someone, then follow me as I follow Christ. There's our paradigm. See, I have no business trying to keep up with the Joneses. Not that the Joneses are bad people. They just don't have my destiny in their life. My life is hid with God in Christ. My life is hid there. They don't have my destiny. So I don't need to keep up with the Joneses. I need to keep up with Christ. That's where my life is. I mean, once we get that, then we dismiss all of the things that have been troubling us for almost a millennia now. When Jesus left, he was expecting us, the Bible says, he's seated at the right hand of the Father until his enemies be made, he's expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. So he didn't go up there and say, okay, I did my part. I don't know when they might be here. He said, I did my part. They will receive strength, and they will wrap this thing up. And we haven't followed that. His instructions, again, were for us to go, to make, to teach, to baptize. See? And we have not been good at that. We've stayed away so that the people that need to hear it haven't heard it. They keep seeing what they've been seeing and have no answers. Then we didn't make disciples. We ran people that should have been disciples away because we judged the heck out of them. We reminded them, oh, wow, Lord, I'm just saying what I'm hearing. We reminded them of how unholy they were, forgetting that we were just as unholy as they are. See? Who are you, old man, that judge another when you do the self same things? See? So we reminded them of how unholy they are and how God is so displeased with them. Well, let me help you out and give you an understanding of how displeased God is with them. God so loved the world. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. See? So his anger is not at their actions. God's position was not because of the things we did. It was because of the heart we display. God does not look at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. See? Blood has already been shed for your sins. You have to present your heart. You have to present your mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Did God come and get your heart and take it? No. You have to give your heart. There was a song that a commission sang that said, love isn't love until you give it away. You have to do that. If you love him, you would keep his commandments. Love isn't love until you give it away. You give it away by sacrifice, keeping his commandments. See? And as we do that, then we walk with him, and he talks with us, and he gives us information that will cause us to win so that we would be strengthened against the attacks that's coming and will come. God spoke into darkness and said, me be, light be. See, he spoke into the darkness. So speaking into your darkness is easy for God. But then you have to come out of the darkness and be translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Those are your steps. Oh, good God, good God, good God. He said we should be translated. He did not say transported. Ooh, glory. See, we're waiting on God to just get us up out of there. No, 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 no. You have to walk. You walked into sin. You have to walk out. Amen. We've got to resist the devil and assist God. But what we normally do is assist the devil and resist God. We have to walk out of the darkness. We have to walk towards the light, walk in the light. God helps us so much. Come on, y'all. He said walk in the light. So he caused the light to be right where you are, and then now he's going to walk you and the light out. Mm. Those are the preordained steps that you should walk in. See? He didn't ask you, come on, come on, come on, come on. He did not ask you to create the light, did he? He said walk in it. So then the light is already there. The light is already on. Amen. It would be an unfair God to tell you to walk in light when there was none. Amen. By definition, if he tells you to do something, that means the ability to execute has to be there. Otherwise, he's unfair and unholy. God has never asked you to do anything you cannot do.
He did ask you to receive the strength so that you will be able to continue to walk. He's not interested in faith accidents, and basically that's what we keep giving him. That might be even what we're looking for. And then we'll say at the end of that, to God be the glory. No, he wants you to do things on purpose because you were made on purpose. You were not made by accident. And whatever you started in, that's the thing you have to walk in. In my day, it was the same thing it took to get your baby hooked. It's going to take the same thing to keep her. Yeah, that means the way a thing starts is the way it should continue. That's the law of first mention. So then go back to your origin. How were you created? You were created in innocency, perfect. So then you have to go back to innocency so that you can walk out, so that you can walk out the perfection that's already on the inside of you. See, we don't try to make perfection. You've heard people say, practice makes perfect. No, practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. The word makes perfect. Go on and turn over there. Psalms 19. It's not practice that makes perfect. It's the word that makes perfect. Psalms 19. Thank you, sir. Starting at, I'm going to just go right here just to show you exactly where it is. Start at verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And what does it do? It converts the soul. See, the law of the Lord is the only thing that's perfect. And it converts the soul. What would it convert the soul to? From being imperfect to being perfect. It didn't say it strung out the soul. It said it converts it. Causes it to be different. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. 23rd Psalms says that he has to do what? Restore our soul, which means it had to, in order to restore something, it had to be right the first time. Is that correct? Amen. See, when you restore, you go back and put it in its original state and condition. Technically, that's what the word righteousness means. It means the state of a condition, the state or condition of a thing as it ought to be. That's what righteousness means. So God is wanting you to work with you to restore your soul, convert your soul. And the law of the Lord is perfect in doing that. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. Notice, again, what he asked us to look at here. He asked us to look at the law of the Lord and the testimonies of the Lord. He did not ask you to look at another man to find out if you're doing right. The law of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord. I'm sorry, but again, I was a musician, so I bring up songs a lot. But the emotion said, if you want to know something, don't ask my neighbors. So God is saying, if you want to get to perfection, stop talking to everybody else. I understand my role. I am to perfect the saints. I get that. But if you have nothing in you, I have nothing to perfect. Hello. If you're going to bring, okay, if you're going to bring that which is messed up and say, I want to stay messed up, how can I perfect that? You didn't want it to be made right. You wanted to, okay, this is what we want to do sometimes. We want to make it be approved, but we didn't want to make it right. We just don't want to make God mad, but we don't want to please him. Amen. See, without, come on, y'all, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that means I'm going to have to do it by the word through his spirit, and then he'll be pleased. If I'm going to try to do it in my flesh, I can't approach that. Your flesh is weak, and it will not sustain a holy lifestyle. You can have a bunch of faith accidents, and that would create a goosebump or two. But he's looking for you to give testimony to those that don't know about him. As Dr. Price would say, do you have enough evidence? What does your life say? We're supposed to go out again and teach, baptize, make. See? People, Peter became a fisher of men. In order for men to be caught, it's going to have to be something that works, not something that sounds good. Amen. It's going to have to be something that works. Okay? Otherwise, they're not going to buy into it. And that's what we've done. We've presented people with stuff that doesn't work in our life. You think you can convince someone that they're supposed to surrender to Jesus while they're sitting across from you drinking the same drink you drinking, smoking the same stuff you smoking? How are you going to convince them that they need Jesus? That's why he says stuff like, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a God unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. I mean, we're going to have to make things. We can no longer participate in teetotaling Christians. Tell everybody it's tea when you know it's not tea. And then making statements like, well, God know my heart. Yeah, that's why he's trying to get you to say, I will not walk in that anymore. I'm going to walk out of the darkness and walk into the light. And Jesus kind of said something that was interesting there. He said, walk while you have the light. He said, work while it is day. Which tells me that there's coming a time when there will not be a light. What you going to do then? How would that make you feel? That all this time you've been professing Jesus and then you can't go because he says, depart from me. All you worked was iniquity. Your heart was not near me. You served me with your lips, but your heart was way on the other side of the room. You were still in the party talking about, I want to be with Jesus. But you never came out from among them. You did not purpose to be separate. He corrected us so that we can be a partaker of his, okay? He wants us to be a partaker of his holiness, not just one that talks about holiness is available. It did say that the workman must first be a partaker of the fruit. Amen. I mean, I'm just trying to get us to go to the place where we have sincerity in this thing. That if you are sick and tired, then don't go back. If you go back, please know, you're going to end up being sick and tired. Amen. We've got to get to the place where we stop dismissing our responsibility and accusing the devil. If God is requiring you to walk, you're going to have to walk. You won't have time to blame. See? That's what happened when Adam fell. Immediately the blame game started. This woman that thou gavest me. Blamed God and the woman for what was in his mouth. Come on now, y'all. Somebody help me. He blamed God and the woman for what he ate. I mean, even if he would have kissed the apple and spit it out, no. Homeboy gobble, swallowed, and then said it was her fault. I don't know how we get there. That is a worker of iniquity. The sin was bad enough. Okay? But he went on and worked the iniquity. Because after he got the pleasure, after he got the pleasure from the apple, then he went to blaming God and the woman. That would be iniquity. You know, we're past the point where it was not a mistake. I'm going to give you a mistake. The sin, we fall in. Okay, I'm going to give you that. You work in something else now. See? You take yourself away from the place of repentance. Amen. When you start blaming somebody else for what you did or did not do, you take yourself out of the place of repentance. Because that's all he's asking you to do. If you would confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of the sins and cleanse you from the unrighteousness. But what do we do? Well, see, they make no see. Well, see, it's the black people that stop me from doing it. The white people that stop me from doing it. No, take your responsibility. Because when you take your responsibility, the scripture can now be fulfilled. I can do the thing through Christ who strengthens me. See? But when we continue to function in that place where everybody else is to blame for what I did or did not do, please know that when you get before the Father, that ain't going to work. I mean, just remember what he did when he showed us in Matthew 25, how he gave the men talents, and he told them to go and work the talents, the one that was saying, okay, God, I'm going to do this. And he brought back 10 talents with the 10 that he had. The other guy got 2 talents, didn't get mad because he didn't get 10. He worked his 2. And then both of them got the same reward. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the rest of the Lord. But the one that didn't do anything with it but blamed everybody else in his life hid his talent under blame. And Jesus came back and said, well, what happened, man? What'd you do? Well, see, I knew that, listen to that, he's still blaming. I knew that you were an austere man, and you sowed, and you reap where you did not sow. So I took your talent, and I hid it in the earth. And Jesus said, really? You knew this, did you? You knew that I was a man that did this, and yet you didn't do anything about it. You could have took my money and gave it to the people, and they put it in the bank, and they would have gave you interest. You did nothing with it. So I tell you what, depart from me. Well, why? Because you worked iniquity. See, we're going to have to get to the place where we take the word of God and say, it's for me. He is chastising me for my profit, so that I can partake of holiness, so I can enter into the place where holiness works in me, works for me, works through me. I can be a partaker of his holiness. It said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure in making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. And what do the statutes of the Lord do? They rejoice the heart. God, you're making me do all this. I don't want to quit. No. You didn't understand that the statutes that you just heard are there to rejoice the heart. Because, again, God is not interested in you doing things mad. I'll say this one, okay. If you do things mad, you're probably going to do things bad. Amen. You remember the old axiom, if you bake bread with bitterness, you bake a bitter bread? If you do things mad, you're probably going to do things bad. See? That's why he said God is not willing to do without a cheerful giver. And when you are a cheerful giver, God is then able to make all grace, not some grace, all grace abound towards you. See, he's looking at the heart. He's not looking at the things you did. He's looking at the heart and how it was done. The word of God is quick and powerful, and it judges and discerns the heart and the intent. See? The reason one of those things would be is because he's trying to bless you in a place that's not seen, so that that which is not seen would be made manifest. Nobody can see in your heart, but they can see the blessings as they overcome you and the help that they pursue you and overcome you. They can see that evidence. See? And then they'll be asking me questions. How is it that the things always work out for you? Well, because my heart is connected to God. My heart is connected to the source, and the source keeps producing. It was not my effort that produced. It was me being connected to my source. Come on, y'all. When you are connected to the source, these are things that you can hear. Because you're connected to the source, out of your bellies flow rivers with an S of living water. You're connected to the source. He didn't want you to be connected to the well. Glory to God. He wants you to be connected to the source. Because when you're connected to the source, you can enjoy overflowing. Amen. Last time I checked, I have not seen wells overflowing. Wells do have a collection, and that's good. Amen. You can enjoy times of refreshing. But when you're connected to the source, you have overflow, continual. Blessings coming up on you and overtaking you. Being daily loaded down with benefit. With an S, benefits. See, these are the things that God is positioning us for. He needs the body of Christ to operate in this so that we can have answers for the things that's causing men's hearts to fear. As we grow in this and operate in this, we would be able to do what Peter did. When Peter was just walking down the street, going to get some bread from the store, and people were healed while he was going down the street. He was not trying to have a healing service. He was not trying to have a church service. They said that the shadow of Peter overshadowing them caused healing. So then if we would do that, walk in that, because God's no respecter of persons, then we would be able to resolve the issue. COVID be over in a day. Oh, how do you say that? Because everything will come under the bow to the knee of Jesus, to the name of Jesus. Everything. Every tongue. Every name. COVID still is a name. And if we would walk in our power, if we would walk in our confidence, then we would begin to see miracles just like that. God didn't forget how to do them. But we haven't positioned our heart to allow that to flow. Did he not say if any two agree at touching anything, then they'll get an answer from heaven? So I didn't read that scripture where it says if any two will agree as touching anything except, because he knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. He still is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. I can think of walking down the street and causing people to get healed. I can think of that. He's able to do above that. He's wanting to do above that. But we haven't decided to receive the correction so that we can walk in this holiness. Did not Jesus walk down the street and the Bible says about him as he went from place to place that he healed all them that were oppressed? some of them, not the elite three. He healed them all. Body of Christ should be able to do the same thing Christ did. Is that not correct? So then where is our healing of them all? We haven't chosen the correction that was necessary, the chastisement that was necessary, so that we can be a partaker of holiness. Statutes of the Lord, verse 8, are right, rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. And what does the commandment of the Lord do? It opens up your eyes. It causes you to see things differently. You don't see lack. You see abundance. You don't see weak. You see power. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by the keeping of them is your servant warned. By them is your servant warned, and the keeping of them is what? Not little reward. Great reward. He's trying to get us to the place where the overflow that he said we would have more abundantly, that we would be able to then give that as an offering to people that don't understand that God was interested in them, that don't think that they think, just like we thought, that we didn't deserve it. There was no way God would do this for me. No, God's not trying to do this for you. He's already done this for you. Jesus said it's finished. He didn't say, I'll be back in a minute and get the rest of it. He said it's finished. So then because it is finished, we need to function from the finished work of Calvary. We have a more sure word. Come on, y'all. Not just a sure word. A more sure word of prophecy. That you do well, that you would take heed to it. Because what's going to happen is the day star is going to arrive. The day dawn is going to come upon you. That's how we walk in the greater life. We go to the word and allow the word to settle us in truth. And then we walk in that truth. And as we walk in that truth, glory is released. People then become interested in the glory of God. It is the most powerful thing that draws people. It is the glory that does that. That's why God had to say he will not share his glory with another, because people are drawn to the glory. They'll fake the glory. Amen. Hollywood is getting good at it. Computer-generated images, they're getting good at faking the glory. And when you look at fake glory, it causes you not to think that God would be the source, because they will bring fake glory through all kind of mediums. See? But fake glory has never been able to sustain a life. See? God is wanting to cause you to live. So he wouldn't give you fake glory, would he? He started you out with glory. The Bible says that Adam was crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because he intended Adam to live forever. So he gave him that which would cause that to happen. He gave him glory and honor. Glory will sustain a holy life. So these are the things that God has set before us. These are the things that he's asking us to embrace. And in order to embrace them, we're going to have to learn about them. probably take the Holy Ghost eraser and take things that are in our thoughts and get them out of there and say, no, that is what I've learned, but that is not what he said. You know, that's one of the reasons that I try to allow you to go chapter and verse, scripture by scripture, so that you can see I can't be lying to you because I didn't come in your house and write that in your Bible. I've got to be speaking truth. And since it is truth, it has the ability. Well, what he said here, come on now, let's listen to it again. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. See? So, as we do that, then people begin to see the difference between those that walk in righteousness and those that simply talk about you need to be righteous. See, God is looking for not those that have intellectual cunning. Paul said, I didn't come to you with intellectual cunning. I came to you with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. I didn't come to you in man's wisdom. Because I wanted to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, I'm not trying to give you 2 points in a poem. I'm giving you that which is necessary. The Bible says strong meat belongs to those that who by use have exercised their senses to know the difference between good and evil. Because they use it, not because they heard it. Strong meat belongs to them that use it. Okay? They go and say, no, this is what God said. I'm going to believe what God said. I'm going to apply it in my life. I'm going to work it into my life. Oh, I know that means I'm going to have to walk out of the darkness and walk in the light. I know that's what that means. So that's what I'm going to begin to do. I'm not going to give up on the process. I'm not going to do it for an hour and then quit. There was a song with the whiners that said, what's the sense in fasting and not lasting to the end? Jesus made promise to us, he that endureth to the end, that's the one that's going to enjoy salvation. See, I'm not looking for faith accidents. I'm looking for us to intentionally walk out the power of God through faith. In his word, in his name, by his spirit. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we thank you that you are encouraging us as you chasten us because you want us to partake of your holiness. You want us to walk victory in everything so that we do not have to come behind in anything. Thank you, Father, for strengthening us by your word, by your spirit, by your love. Thank you that we choose to participate according to your plan, according to your precepts, according to your statutes, so that we can then enjoy the life that you've given unto us. Thank you for strengthening us day by day, moment by moment, so that we can please you by walking by faith in everything that's before us. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Well, if you had any questions or comments about the ministry today, we'll give you an opportunity to go ahead and voice those so we can hear them and all grow thereby. So I'm going to give the mic to area code 404-490-7875. Area code 404-490-7875. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry today?
No questions or comments. I understand now more than I did before about in us. He's the energy. He's the, I mean, yeah. He's the energy. He's a source. I understand
right,
that better
right.
than not
we're
because
the,
that,
we're
that illustration you gave about the electricity.
Uh-huh.
I mean that just hit me. That hit me real good because
Amen.
I know that
Amen.
Electricity
Amen.
Runs this whole house.
Right.
And without
right.
pushing buttons, I'm in the dark.
You're
and
in the dark.
That's the same
yeah.
thing with the light of Jesus. If I go to Him
right.
with the source and plug my
right.
my plug into Him, I get to see the whole
right.
energy, and my light shines even brighter.
Yep. It works. Everything works when you connect it to the source. Yes, that's just very good. Well, amen. We're glad we can help with that. That's just a good point. We take that and we just keep walking with that because the thing about it is the source never runs out. So then that means you get stronger and stronger as you learn to use more of it or let it flow through you. So that's just the good part about this. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank
yes,
you for joining the call. Amen. And so area code 404-547-8086. Area code 404-547-8086. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? Go ahead, area code 404-547-8086. Any comments or questions about the ministry? Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. You have the mic. Well, we thank you for being on the call. Area code 678-373-9688. Area code 678-373-9688. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry today?
Pastor Steve, that was an awesome message tonight. I have no questions. I just thank you for bringing the word and letting God use you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That's what we're here for. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. That's the thing that strengthens us when we know that we reached you and helped you become strong in the place that you're standing so that you can walk further and further by His Spirit in His Word. Area code 678-469-7930. 7930.
Oh.
Area code 678. Go ahead. You have the mic.
Every time the Lord allows us to speak His Word, it's a wonder, and I'm grateful for it. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Thank you. And again, that's what we're here for. You know, I'm not here trying to, my pastor would say, win friends and influence people. I'm simply here being obedient, allowing God to speak into us. Because when you hear it is when I hear it. I might know it from a perspective, but when you hear it, I'm hearing it fresh at that time. And it shakes me to my core because it says that even having an idea of where he wanted to go and seeing where he ended up, it just amazes me that the love of God is that detailed in my life. So I'm just glad. I really appreciate that. And so I would like to, again, ask and remind you that if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, that you just go to the website and go find the donate tab and be a blessing because we stay on the air through the offerings of the people that are touched. Even Paul said, if we give of our spiritual substance, it should be no big thing for you to give of your material substance because God has given you, yes, he has, God has given you through ministry things that will go for generations. So then you can at least sow into the ministry based on what you got over a small period of time, over a two-week period, if you would. So seek the Lord and find out what he wants you to do in the area of giving because that's what keeps us here so that we can bless you and we can all grow thereby. So then until the next time that we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until next Monday or the next time we get together, I love you. Be blessed.